Good morning. I'm Chris Punks with the check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. A man accused of crashing his car into a river in western Iowa, killing a teenager, has been found guilty of vehicular homicide and eight other charges. The Sioux City Journal reports that a Crawford County jury convicted 26-year-old Ramon Hernandez on Friday. Besides the homicide count, Hernandez was found guilty of three counts of distribution of a controlled substance to a minor, one count of delivery or possession with intent to deliver, and four counts of providing alcohol to a minor. Authorities say Hernandez drove through a farm field with four teenagers in his car before it plunged into the Boyer River on January 19th. He and three of the others reached safety. The body of 15-year-old Joanna Acosta was found a week later on January 26th. Iowa prison officials say the Iowa State Penitentiary in Fort Madison continues to be in a lockdown with restricted movement of inmates after a staffer was stabbed on Wednesday. Inmates cannot use the telephones and visits are suspended. Officials say there are no plans to lift the lockdown anytime soon. Iowa Department of Corrections officials said Friday in a statement that the staff member has been released from the hospital and is home recovering. The union representing prison workers says the staffer was stabbed five times by an inmate. Prison officials confirm the offender has ties to groups affiliated with white supremacy and say they continue to investigate. Plans to modify the housing unit where the attack occurred are in drafting, and prison officials say staffing plans are being evaluated. Police in central Iowa have arrested a man charged in the death of a woman whose body was found under a bridge in Kentucky. The U.S. Marshal's Office in Iowa says in a news release that 35-year-old Valenti Ware was arrested Friday at a Des Moines home without incident on a Kentucky warrant charging him with murder and evidence tampering. Ware is wanted in the death of 37-year-old Megan Leah Accord, whose body was found October 1st under a bridge in Lexington, Kentucky. An autopsy found the cause of death was multiple trauma from an assault. Ware was being held Friday in Polk County Jail awaiting extradition to Kentucky. A woman in Red Oak who was distracted by answering her cell phone Thursday afternoon was cited for having no insurance, accident-related, following a collision. 55-year-old Shelley Shuffler of Red Oak was also issued a warning for following too closely after the 2006 Chrysler Town & Country van she was driving hit the rear of a 2013 Chevy Traverse registered to Agravision Equipment Group and driven by 57-year-old Robert of Creston. Officials say both vehicles were traveling north on North Broadway at around 1:10 p.m. when stopped after traffic stopped in front of him. Shuffler didn't notice the SUV had come to a halt. Damage from the collision amounted to $8,000 and there were no injuries reported. Red Oak police dispatched to the 100 block of East Market Street in Red Oak on Friday morning with regard to an assault, arrested a man on several charges. 25-year-old David Richard Nash of Red Oak was taken into custody at around 12:50 a.m. for interference with official acts, assault on a peace officer, and a felony charge of domestic abuse, assault, third or subsequent offense. Nash was brought to the Montgomery County Jail and held without bond. Two men were arrested in the same area but on separate charges Thursday evening in Red Oak. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports 60-year-old Robert Ernest McMartin of Red Oak was arrested at around 6:30 p.m. in the 400 block of East Grime Street following a traffic stop. McMartin was charged with driving while license suspended with eight withdrawals in effect. He was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on slightly more than $566 bond. About 10 minutes later, also in the 400 block of East Grimes, 54-year-old Joseph Olis Loudermilk of Red Oak was arrested by Red Oak police with assistance from Montgomery County Sheriff's deputies. Loudermilk was brought to the Montgomery County Jail and charged with simple assault. His bond was set at $300. Authorities in Union County said on Friday that text to 911 is now live for U.S. Cellular customers in Union County. Chief Dispatcher Mark Williams said they want the public to know that this option is available to them if needed. Voice calls are the preferred method of contacting 911, but the motto is call if you can, text if you can't. Text to 911 is primarily for the deaf, hard of hearing, or those with a speech impediment. It is also beneficial to those who would be put into a dangerous situation to make a 911 call. Unlike voice calls, you must have an active cell phone plan to text 911. Currently, any phone can make a voice call to 911 regardless of service status. Text to 911 capable counties are available in most of the area counties. You cannot send a picture or video message to 911, and Williams said abuse of 911 applies to both text and voice calls. Please use it only in emergencies. Currently, all counties in the KJAN listening area have text to 911 capability except Pottawatomie and Monona. Three counties in southeast Iowa are also not yet capable of receiving those text 911 messages. Another tweak has been made to official state tax predictions, and it likely means cuts will have to be made in the current state budget.
It'll be a combination of looking at what's the best approach, but we will need to make somewhat of an adjustment.
That's Iowa Department of Management Director Dave Roederer, who says, or he's the governor's top advisor on budget matters. Roederer is also one of the three members of the Revenue Estimating Conference. The panel met Thursday afternoon and reduced its official prediction of state tax collections in the current budgeting year. If that prediction holds through December, it means that at least $35 million would have to be cut from the state budget. Governor Reynolds will review all the information and will likely make a recommendation to legislators in January, according to Roederer.
It's never easy budgeting, and frankly, when it should never be easy, because we're dealing with taxpayers' money. If it becomes easy, that means we are collecting too much from taxpayers.
Roederer says there is a modest growth in Iowa's economy, but there are very real negatives like a lagging farm sector and the threat of a trade war on the horizon. David Underwood, a retired business executive from Mason City, also serves on the Revenue Estimating Conference. Underwood says he sees plenty of help wanted signs all over the place, but there aren't enough skilled workers.
That continues to be one of the drags on our growth.
And Underwood says while it appears farmers are having a good harvest, he's not sure that will yield a major turnaround in farm income.
You know, I still see the farm lenders, their crisis teams are still working and spending a lot of time working with the farmers that are struggling and figure out how to pay and how to finance next year's crops as well. So there still are farmers that are in trouble, not as bad as we saw the last time we had the collapse in the farm economy, but enough that the lenders are concerned.
The governor's budget director says a long-standing hiring freeze is in effect in state government, and agency directors understand they must pinch pennies. Democrats say the state faces big challenges because Republican Governor Reynolds and GOP lawmakers have made poor budget decisions. Mid-American Energy is upgrading more than 700 of its wind turbines at three wind farms spread across six Iowa counties. Adam Jacoby, spokesman for the Des Moines-based utility, says work is underway at the company's Century Wind Farm in north-central Iowa's Hamilton and Wright counties.
We just recently began work on repowering, which is refurbishing some of our older wind turbines with newer equipment that is designed to generate more electricity, more wind energy, and bring some more of that clean, renewable energy to Iowa customers.
The process involves upgrading the turbines with improved technology and putting longer blades on the existing towers to produce more power.
We've also got work underway in Buena Vista and Sac counties, and then at another farm in Crawford and Carroll counties. So we have up to 706 wind turbines that are approved to be repowered by the Iowa Utilities Board.
Jacoby says most of the turbines that are being upgraded were installed in 2004 and 05, so they've been in place well over a decade already. The repowering will bring a sizable boost to the power-generating abilities of each tower.
It's going to produce about 19% to 28% more electricity per turbine. That's just more clean energy and all the benefits that comes with that for our Iowa customers without having to do any costly new development and construction.
Mid-American has entered into agreements with General Electric to complete the upgrades at the three wind farms. That's a look at the latest in news here on KJAN. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements. Brian Chris Moon, age 52, of Indian Wells, California, formerly of Stewart, died October 8th at the Desert Regional Medical Center in Palm Springs, California. Graveside services for Brian Moon will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Calvary Catholic Cemetery in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Marcella Marie Smith, age 99, of Erling, died Wednesday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home in Erling. A mass of Christian burial for Marcella Marie Smith will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Alberta Heckman-Lees, age 96, of Guthrie Center, formerly of Anita, died October 8th at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. Memorial services for Alberta Lees will be held on here today at 10:30 a.m. at the Anita Congregational United Church of Christ. Huckleberry Family Care Funeral Home has arrangements. Ryan Danley, age 36, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Kavanaugh House on 56th in Des Moines. Funeral services for Ryan Danley will be held on today at 1 p.m. at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Diana K. Diwali, age 66, of Avoca, died Wednesday at Avoca Specialty Care. Funeral services for Diana K. Diwali will be held today at 2 p.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Richard E. Barnett, age 65, of Urbandale, formerly of Earlham, died Friday at Mercy Hospice in Johnston. Funeral services for Richard E. Barnett will be held on Monday at the Johnston Family Funeral Home in Earlham. And Rolene Lundy, age 64, of Greenfield, died Friday at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Rolene Lundy are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Dixie I. Anderson, age 83, of Harlan, passed away on Thursday at the Elmcrest Assisted Living Facility in Harlan. And the funeral services for Dixie I. Anderson will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irwin. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has arrangements. And Paul E. Peterson, age 67, of Atlantic, died Friday at his home in Atlantic. Memorial services for Paul E. Peterson are pending at Huckleberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a look at the latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.